Let me invite you to open up God's Word with me this morning to Psalm 78. And as we turn our attention to Psalm 78, any elementary kids that want to participate in a children's worship time are welcome to be dismissed at this time and gather out in the foyer for the beginning of that time. Mom, Dad, this is an option for you. Certainly not a necessity. Kids always welcome to remain right here as we open the Word of God together. And as we think about kids, we've had a significant weekend this weekend for our students and our student ministry, a Youth Disciple Now weekend. And so as you see students in Sunday school and then coming in for the late worship gathering, encourage them, be encouraged by them and the opportunity that they've had to study God's Word together over the weekend in a variety of ways. And I'm so grateful that we're part of a church family that invests in next generations, in telling next generations about the goodness of God and the goodness of His character, the gracious acts of redemption in and through Jesus Christ. And so as we think about that, as we think about Mother's Day, even today, I'm curious, show of hands, how many of you would say that a mom or a dad impacted you in a significant way when it comes to your faith? A great number of you, great many that have been impacted by mom or dad and passing on the good news of the gospel. We've mentioned recently, we've had several deaths in our church this year. Most of these elderly folks that have lived long and faithful lives. And I can't help but think of a conversation around the table with the family of one of these men, Mr. Jesse Parker, who passed away well into his 90s, and gathering around the kitchen table of his daughter's home and listening to kids and grandkids talk about this man and the way that he shaped them in a significant way to know and follow the Lord. I couldn't help but coming away from that conversation asking the question, what are my kids going to say about me? What are my grandkids going to say about me? Am I leaving that kind of legacy of faith in the God of Scripture for generations that follow? You know, it's common sentiment to want your children to have it better than you did, right? To have an easier life or a better life or a more stable life. And that idea begins to get at the message of the text that we'll look at this morning. But it's not about building a better life. It's about knowing and obeying the God who gives life. And here's the deal. Our children won't know Him if nobody tells them. If nobody tells them of the goodness of this God. God's plan is for us. It's for us to tell them for their sake and for their children's sake and for the subsequent generation's sake and ultimately for God's glory. Today's text is a call to tell them. And so let's hear from the Bible this morning. As you find your place there in Psalm 78, let me invite you, all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's Word? It's a lengthy psalm. We're going to read the first 8 verses. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. Would you pause with me as we pray? Oh God, we invite You, we ask You to speak to us now through the reading, the proclamation of Your Word for our good, for the good of our children, for the glory of Your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Well, this psalm goes on for a while. It's one of the lengthier psalms. In fact, it's 72 verses, and I would encourage all of us maybe later today to go home and read it. Read it in its fullness, because it recounts much of Israel's history from Moses leading the enslaved Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to God providing the young shepherd boy David as king of the nation. And over, this historical psalm highlights the people's forgetfulness. Their failure to obey the Lord. Yet the Lord's faithfulness to his people despite their failure. It's a song. The Psalms are songs. It's a song that testifies about God's power and his plans. Testifies about his word and his works, his purposes, and especially, we might say, his patience. Aren't you glad that God is a patient God? It's precisely because of his patience that we're gathered together this morning as people of faith in this God, enjoying the privileges of being part of his people. And the call of the text laid out in these opening 8 verses is to remember and tell. In fact, you can trace that theme throughout all 72 verses of this particular psalm. This emphasis on remembering. Don't forget. Don't forget like those who went before us. Let's remember. Remember God's character and his commands and tell it to future generations so they won't rebel against him, but rather so that they'll come to know, trust, and obey him. See, here's the message, I think, in a nutshell. We must remember God's marvelous works and tell them to next generations. We must remember God's marvelous works and tell them to next generations. Here on Mother's Day, we ought to be thanking God for our mothers and grandmothers, especially where they've passed the faith on to us. But to be thanking God for generations of believers in the God of the Bible who have gone before us, and we ought to be pleading with God to stir our hearts that we might learn to trust him and tell next generations to put their faith in him. We must remember God's marvelous works and tell them to next generations. Well, who is God? What has he done? Well, this psalm scratches the surface of that. First, He is trustworthy, verse 7. He's praiseworthy, verse 4. He protects from enemies, verse 13. He guides, verse 14. He provides fresh food and water, verse 20. He's merciful and he's forgiving, verse 38. He redeems, verse 42. He's patient and he's just. And ultimately, he provides a servant king. That's where the psalm ends. A servant king to lead and to love his people as a shepherd to his sheep, the mighty David of Israel, who was a foreshadowing of the mighty Messiah of Israel, who would be an heir of David, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 23, who would shepherd God's people, leading them to know and love the Lord. That's some of what God has done. Do you know what God has done? Do you know what God has done? Faithful believers learn and share what God has done. Faithful believers learn and share what God has done. Psalm 78 begins with a call to listen and to learn. Verse 1, my people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. To hear what God has done so we can pass on what God has done. So that we can listen again to verse 3, things we have heard and known. Things our ancestors have told us. Hear the generational emphasis in this text. You can't miss it. This is not a new story. This is God's story passed down from generation to generation by our fathers and mothers. I think of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, a text that we mentioned in our recent Sunday school breakfast, where Paul is reminding Timothy where he heard and learned the faith. From his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. See, Asaph says here, this is what our ancestors shared with us. They told us about God's greatness in generations gone by. And here's the deal. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas play a huge role in this. A huge role. But so does the faith testimony of our spiritual ancestors who preceded them. Remember that song that we learned as children? Father Abraham, right? Father Abraham had many sons. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Spiritual ancestors whom God called to know and to follow Him, and who passed down the truths of Scripture, truths about the God of the Bible, to generations that followed, grafted into God's family, the Bible teaches. No longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens we are. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. For if you belong to Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, 29. Meaning, church, that through faith in Christ, we're part of Abraham's family. Part of his family, members of God's covenant people, which means this is our story. Our story as believers, saved by the grace of Almighty God, heirs of salvation, right? Purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We'll only praise the Savior if we know His story. So let's be a people who learn His story. Learn God's story. Church, learn God's story. Psalm 78 is a clarion call to learn His story. To learn the story of the God of the Bible. We learn it by reading it and by hearing it, which is why we keep coming back, right? We keep coming back Sunday after Sunday to gather with God's people for corporate worship, and why our worship gatherings are to be centered on the reading and proclamation of His Word. The Word of God that recounts the glorious deeds of God, God's great acts of grace in spite of human sin, in spite of our sin. It's the story of God inviting a people to know Him and to experience His love. The story of God inviting a people, as we sung a few moments ago, to be His people and to experience His presence and His provision forever and ever and ever. It's the story of Genesis 17 where God says to a man named Abraham, He says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Friends, it's the story of salvation. It's the story of God's promise to restore people that were created to know Him and to love Him and to experience His love and to enjoy Him. Created to know and obey Him, yet who keep on sinning against Him. It's the story of new life. It's the story of forgiveness. It's the story of reconciliation, restoration with God. It's the story of eternity with Him for all who put their faith in His Son sent to save. The Bible is a story of promise and fulfillment. It's the story of God rescuing rebels through a promised King planned by God Himself before the foundation of the world, so that the rescued might know, love, and enjoy living in His kingdom forever. Do you know that story? Church, let's listen to the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Let's learn God's story. And let's rehearse the Bible in our homes. Rehearse the Bible in your home. Rehearse the Bible in your home. What are the rhythms and routines that happen in your home? Doesn't matter how hectic life is, there's rhythm and routine for each of us. Maybe chaotic, but there's rhythm and routine. Do our rhythms and routines in the home include rehearsing the story of salvation, rehearsing the Word of God in our home? You see, the greatest gift we parents can give our children is to teach them about this God. The greatest gift that we can give our kids is to teach them about this God. We must remember His marvelous works and tell them to our children. One of my kids had a dream a few days ago, and he woke up telling me about this dream. It was quite the vivid dream. He was telling me about this giant snake that I believe, in the yard surrounding the house. Huge snake. Some of his buddies were in this dream, and they were like wrestling this snake, trying to keep it away. But even so, somehow the snake still bit my son's arm. And as he's telling me this, right after he woke up in the morning, he's saying, "And my arm hurts." Like, the dream, it was so vivid, it was so real, that he woke up feeling as if it really happened. Friends, oh, that God's Word would become so real to us. That these ancient words would become so alive to us that when we hear it, we believe it and we enter into it. So that when we read it, we know we've been listening to God Himself. After the Lord delivered the Israelites from slavery, you know that story in Exodus, and led them toward the promised land, He gave them some commandments, the Ten Commandments, that laid out what it looked like to live in relationship with Him. What it meant for the rescued people of God to live for the glory of God. And then through Moses, God tells His people, following the giving of those commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 6, He says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Get to know these things. Think about them. And they penetrate you deep down. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Like, if that text tells us anything about our human condition, it must be that we're prone to forget. Really prone to forget the goodness and the ways of God. That we're prone to wander from faithfulness to God and to go our own way. God says, read it. Learn it. Share it. Teach it. Teach my word day by day wherever you go, so that you and your children and their children will not forsake me. Church, faithful believers teach God's word so future generations would trust and obey Him. What does it mean to be a faithful follower of Christ? Well, it certainly means that we teach His word. We teach His word so that future generations would trust and obey Him. Speaking of obedience, and as we're thinking about mothers, my mom believed in correcting her kids. Anybody else's mom believe in correcting their kids? I remember being corrected to a few spankings. I know that's shocking for you to hear this morning. I don't think I got like an unusual number of spankings, but I do vividly remember in my childhood home, the laundry room of the back corner of the house, right off the kitchen, where mom would take me if I had crossed a certain line, and she felt I needed a wooden switch on my bottom, my bare bottom. She would beat it just enough to where it stung. And I knew that I had crossed a boundary and needed some firm correction, to be warned about what I'd said or done, that it was the wrong way to go, and that I needed a course correction for my own sake and for my family's sake. But even so, I never doubted that she loved me. I never questioned. I don't recall ever questioning her commitment to me, her faithfulness, her love, even when I did unlovely things. And friends, here's the deal. Such as was true of her remains infinitely more true of her God, who is gracious and compassionate, who is slow to anger. You read the full text of Psalm 78. No doubt that's going to come through. He's slow to anger. And He's abounding in steadfast love for His children. Such is the character of God portrayed in this psalm. We must remember His marvelous works and tell them to next generations. And listen to this. I love this. Alan Ross writes this, reflecting on the psalm. He says, "In that telling about who God is, His marvelous works, that telling will necessarily include the rebellious acts of people." Why? Because God's most marvelous works are His compassion, patience, and forgiveness of a sinful people. Friends, what a patient God we serve. What a gracious Lord we praise. One who is not slow in keeping His promise, the Bible says, but patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so we, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, family and family in Christ, we teach God's Word and His works so that, verse 6, the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. When was the last time we considered how our lives, our love for Christ, or lack thereof, might impact the children yet to be born? Like 15, 20 years ago, I couldn't have told you that I'm going to have a daughter and two sons today. Maybe 12 and 9 and 5. I couldn't have told you that. 15, 20 years ago, some of you, perhaps your kids were growing up and leaving the home, and now you've got a nest full of grandkids. We don't know what tomorrow holds. What a sobering thought that our commitment to Christ and His church today plays a key role in how future generations respond to Him. Friends, we must remember His marvelous works and tell them to next generations. Verse 7, then they would put their trust in God. So they would trust Him. So they would trust Him and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. Now this is no guarantee. We know this. We don't produce obedience in our kids. We don't produce changed hearts that love the Lord in our children. We might modify their behavior or help them modify their behavior, but only the Holy Spirit can change the hearts. But the reality is that God's Spirit does use us. In His plan, in His wisdom, He uses us every day, moms and dads who know the Lord, to shape kids in ways that often lead them to hear His voice. And here's the deal, I think. If you know this God, friend, if you know this God, this King and Judge who not only demands and deserves our obedience, but who in Jesus, His only begotten Son, provides it on our behalf. One who took on human flesh, fullness of God in human flesh, tempted and tried in every way just as we are, yet without sin, never rebelling, never unfaithful or disloyal, verse 8, but always keeping God's commands, verse 7, so that through His blood, God could show mercy, forgive our iniquities, and not destroy us, verse 38, calling us His own forever. If you know Him, you'll want to tell your kids about Him. So friend, do you know Him? Do you know this God who rescues sinners, who saves wandering souls, who sent His own Son to do and to be for us what we could not accomplish on our own, so that by faith in His Son, we might receive His everlasting salvation? Have you heard about Him and put your trust in Him? Put your trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. That's why this psalm was written, so that we might trust the Lord God who saves, passing on His story of salvation so present and future generations might put their faith in Him. As Abraham did. As Moses did. As David did. As countless others have done. Many unnamed others have done. Unknown to us, but fully known to Him. Trust the Lord and teach your children to trust the Lord. Teach your children to trust the Lord. Let me ask you, how is the tone of your home? The conversations in the kitchen? The schedule that you're keeping, teaching your kiddos to trust the Lord? I'll be the first to say, if I'm honest about that, I need to spend some time with the Lord. The tone of your home, conversations in the house, the schedule you're keeping, how's it? Teaching your kids to trust the Lord. Folks, might this Mother's Day be a day we thank God for the things our ancestors have told us, verse 3. The ones that God has used to tell us. Certainly, I think of my mother, but I think of a grandpa on my mom's side who many weekends when I was in their home, he was calling his Sunday school classmates on Saturday nights. And you're going to be in church tomorrow? I think of my granny on my father's side who would write me letters while I was in college, encouraging me in the faith. I think of an elderly lady named Miss Gladys Cooper in my home church that was an advocate for missions and teaching children about missions. I think of Miss Jane Carpenter, a prayer warrior in this church who shaped countless kids and their families, encouraging them to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Moms, might this be a day you recommit to passing on the faith so the next generation would know the Lord, even the children yet to be born. Might this be a day you begin investing in next generations in your church family. See, I don't know the particular response for you today, but I'm quite sure that we're all called to respond. And so we're going to do that together, but we're also going to do that individually. And so as David and our music team come to prepare to lead us in a hymn of response, I'm going to pray and then invite each of us to respond with open hearts, confession of sin, praise to God. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that as we respond together now, Lord, that your Spirit would impress upon each of us individual responses that are fitting for those who've heard from you. And so God, guide us. Hear our praise. Hear our prayers. Convict us. Call us. Shape us. Lord, that we might know and follow you and that we might pass on the faith and call subsequent generations to put their trust in you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.